You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Greetings in Jesus' name. We are turning our attention to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. In our previous discussions, we discussed Exodus chapter 1, and we noticed how Pharaoh wanted the boy child's rice taken away. We are continuing with that. But the setting of chapter 2 has something interesting to us. It's the birth of Moses. Moses, who is going to be born at a time when Pharaoh is doing all he can to destroy the boy child. I want us to read it in the context of chapter 15 of Genesis. In chapter 15, verse 13 through 16, God is promising Abraham that your children shall be strangers in a foreign land. Notice that Moses is born at least exactly 8 years before the departure from Egypt. Why am I particular about the birth of Moses and the time? He is born 8 years before the children of Israel leave Egypt. What is important about that? It seems the enemy of Israel's souls, or the enemy of our souls, it seems the devil does not take God's word for granted. He had heard that your children shall be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. He made preparations. He brought up a Pharaoh that would be of help to him, at least more than 8 years before the event. He is aimed at the 8th year of Moses' birth, which is the year of deliverance. To prove that is so, you can read also chapter 12 of Exodus. You will notice that the children of Israel did not leave any time earlier or any time later than the time of prophets. The Bible simply says, at the self-same day, that day of prophets, that day that God had spoken to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, at the self-same day, the congregation of the Lord left the land of Egypt. I will go back to what I'm trying to say. I am saying, we are not wrestling against a devil who is ignorant of Scripture. We are not wrestling against a devil who is ignorant of God's promises. We are not wrestling against a devil who is ignorant of God's purpose to deliver his people out of this planet. We are wrestling against an enemy that can sit down and plan beforehand. Before the event comes, he has already countered it. Satan used a Pharaoh that lived at least more than 8 years before the fulfillment of the promise to work out circumstances and put the environment suitable for the destruction of the plan of God. Paul wrote that we are not wrestling against the flesh and the blood. We are wrestling against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. An important thing should emerge in our mind. The year of deliverance is still in future, and it can only be seen through the prophecies given to Abraham. But Satan has stood up and started educating Egypt against the Israelites' boy child. Kill the boy child. And he says this more than 8 years before the time of promise comes. The systems of the devil work in a calculated manner. He is not unmindful of the promises of God, but he works as if the events are a cause of nature. It's a natural change of things. His plans are deep-seated, reaching to the depths of the problem. His problem is that God promised something. And to counter this, he does not talk about God. He talks it in such a way that he wants to benefit Egypt. But the way of benefiting Egypt is to destroy the point. So he started, I am saying that devil we are working against, we are wrestling against, we are preaching against, is a devil that has come down to our planet with great wrath, knowing that his time is limited, his time is short. So the first setting, Exodus chapter 2 is set in that framework, where an intelligent devil that started working in Exodus chapter 1 has already started events. So Moses is born at least 8 years before the children of Israel leave Egypt. Get to know it. Some of us might not even live up to 8 years, but systems have been put down already that will disadvantage us in our deliverance to the promised land. Every Christian around, no, almost every religion around believes in the emancipation of God's people somehow, somewhere. May I put it clear for everyone? We are wrestling against the enemy of our souls that knows pretty well the biblical predictions. He is aware that God has promised to deliver us from his hand. He is aware that the hope of every man on earth is deliverance, that all nature is groaning for deliverance. Unawares, he is preparing, unawares to God's people, he is preparing the events to put things in such a way that at the time that they are expected to be delivered, God's people will not be found ready. We will leave it there and then continue. Moses has been born and he has been hid in the water. God is acting in almost everything that is taking place here. Is it by coincidence that the daughter of Pharaoh comes to the water to see where Moses is hidden? Remember, he is hidden. For some reasons, I almost think the hidden child must be seen by the enemy troop and rescued by the enemy troop in the hope that the child will belong to the enemy government. So I do not believe it was a coincidence that Pharaoh's daughter saw. I almost believe that God arranged the circumstances so much that at the time when Pharaoh's daughter arrived at the river Nile, she saw Moses. And the Bible says she sends a servant to go pick him up. And when she saw the child crying inside the ark, that's how the Bible also uses that basket. It also calls it an ark. I will use the ark instead of the basket for some reasons. Seeing the child inside crying in the ark, the Bible tells us that she had compassion on her and said, this is one of the Hebrews' sons. The idea is she knows what they are going through. For the first time in the chapter, we see the Egyptian woman turning compassionate against the situation or towards the situation of the Hebrews. And then Miriam runs and says, shall I go and call a Hebrew mother to nurse the child for you? I will stand wondering always whether the statement for you really meant for you or for your benefit or for the benefit of Israel. But nonetheless, the child is nursed. At least the text tells us she is nursed for her. And she says, I will pay you. Let me pause here. I will pay you for nursing this child for me. This is an Egyptian princess and is paying a Hebrew mother for nursing a Hebrew child for Egypt. The deal is simple. But let me ask a simple question. If the world will pay those that nurse children for them, how much more will the courts of heaven pay those mothers that will diligently nurse children for them? If an Egyptian court will release money, will release a fund to pay a woman for nursing a child for Egyptian courts, how much is worth that woman walking in the streets of our planet in a busy world of ours? How much is that woman going to be paid who will nurse a child for the courts of heaven? Here stands one thing. We know mothers are the people that are least recognized in their work of mothering. They don't have a daily salary because they are mothers. Somehow they are forced to go out and look for money. But I want to stand here and remember that this text is saying, you are not paid for anything. You are paid for rearing your own children, at least for a certain court. Whether it will be the Egyptian court or the heavenly court, nobody knows it yet. But you will be rewarded for whatsoever you are doing to your children. How are you nursing your children? It seems from the entire chapter that Moses' mother did not nurse the child for Egyptian courts. For immediately we notice that in verse 11, the same child nursed to be in Egypt for Egyptian purposes is going down to see his brother's burdens. We are nursing a child with a heart that responds to humanity's plight, a heart that is connected to the activities of suffering humanity. So many a child is nursed today who has no care in what is happening to his own brothers, let alone to all suffering humanity. Oh, that mothers will recognize that it is them that nurse us for usefulness in this world and in the world to come. Who are you nursing your child for? Who will pay you at the final day? Who will give you wages for nursing? Is it Egypt's palaces or the heavenly palaces? What an important responsibility rests upon a human mother. Above all that mothers in this planet, a human mother has a responsibility to nurse children for courts, whether they be ethnic courts. Nurse your child with a real idea, knowing who they will become tells of who you were. This woman nursed a son who left to the Egyptian schools, and as we read scripture, he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. But he could not forget his brothers. He could not forget his religious affinity. How are you nursing your child, dear mother? How is your child being nursed? It is important to remind people in our generation that the greatest mistake that has ever happened to humanity is how young boys and young girls are reared today. We are rearing people that are useless to the world and to God himself. A bunch, a flood of people is flooding society who have nothing about what is taking place in our planet. They cannot be useful in the courts of Egypt. Neither can they be useful in the courts above. How we are nursed determines who we will become. Moses is nursed so much that his heart cannot forget. So many so-called educated people today have forgotten their religious affinity, the God of their mothers. Let me pause by saying this. Let me, as we wrap up this presentation, let me put it clear. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and in deeds. All rhetoric, history, poetry, military achievements, and science, everything that religion, everything that Egypt offered, Moses got. And he was, you just learned zoology, and you have denied God just by seeing a tail of an animal. Let us stand and remind ourselves that it is not education that makes people forget their God. It is a point of you are miseducated if your education tells you God does not exist elsewhere. We will pause there, but keep in mind, we are interested in how this man was reared by a mother. Is there a mother today that walks the streets of Johannesburg or Pretoria or Harare or wherever in the world that is able to nurse a child in such a way that the child will be meaningful to this world and in the world to come? May God bless us. May we nurse our own children for the benefit of this world and even for the world to come. This is my prayer. As we continue nursing children, let us remember there are rewards there. Will you be rewarded by Egypt's princesses, or you will be rewarded by the heavenly prince of life for how you nursed your child? God bless you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.